You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in John's Gospel. John's Gospel. Seems like I was just here. And time has come around again. And we thank the Lord for the privilege to be here in this place again. Some time ago, I was listening to a preacher preach, and he made an opening statement before he preached. Please forgive me, I don't remember anything else he said. I just got the opening statement. The opening statement led to these five sermons. And shortly after I got the five sermons, he said they had your name on them. So I'm here to deliver. Here was the statement that he made. Are you simple enough? Are you simple enough? We're very complex people, and we're probably one of the first generation that we can make a mountain out of a molehill, just like that. Very complex, we're very detailed. And we pride ourselves in being able to multitask. We can do a lot of things at one time. See, there's several of you right here. You're doing several things right now while I'm speaking. Here's the problem. God ain't never been impressed with it. Never. He is only impressed with simplicity. Matter of fact, 95% of everything Jesus said in the New Testament, red letters, they're all 2 and 3 syllable words. I don't know about you, if you keep it at 2 and 3 syllable words, I'm right in there with you. You get them 4 and 5 syllable, I'm out. He kept everything simple. And so it led to this thought, and this is what I want to preach to you in these five services, on the simplicity of being simple. Simplicity of being simple. There are five people in the Bible. Covers over hundreds and hundreds of years of Bible history. They joined the simplicity club. And so right away you know there's plenty of room. They only got 5 members. You could join this morning. No, probably not. Because you'd have to get simple in order to join the simplicity club. Each one of these people, although it's over hundreds and hundreds of years of Bible history, they are all marked by one statement tattooed on their life, and this is the statement: this one thing. All 5 of them, this one thing. I want to begin this morning in John's Gospel, chapter number 9, at one of the members of the Simplicity Club. And I want to preach on the simplicity of deliverance. The simplicity of deliverance. I did not know if you realize it or not, but in John's Gospel, he performed 7 miracles. And those 7 miracles, he says at the close of the book, he said, "These things I write unto you that you might believe." All 7 of these miracles are pictures of what God did when he saved you. And if you cannot see all 7 of these pictures in your salvation, make yourself a note. I'm going to hell when this is over with. Are you listening to me this morning? They must be seen. All 7 of these miracles must be seen in your salvation experience, or you don't have jack. Got religion. No salvation. Watch text, John chapter number 9, verse number 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he's born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. The works of God should be made manifest in him.'" He says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went, and 3 days later he came back and could see.
You just say that in the Living Bible.
He went, washed. I can see. I can see. Wow. Look at verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind. This is the religious crowd now. And said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Look at verse 25. He's going to join the club. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd ever stick my nose in your business. Have you ever joined the Simplicity of Deliverance Club? Here it is. How do I get in, preacher? He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, he says, I know not. One thing that I know. This is the only thing I know. He said, whereas I was blind, now I can see. Preacher Scott, if you want to have somebody in here to the church to give their testimony and you need to fill about 30 or 40 minute slot, do not call this fella to give his testimony, because it's going to be real simple. He said, the only thing I know is I was blind, now I can see. That's all I know. Boy, I wish God would raise up some this morning. The only testimony you got, I was blind, now I can see. That's the only thing I know. Because see, some of you know a lot of religious stuff, but it ain't going to take you nowhere. Watch the text this morning as we unpack it. Notice the need for deliverance. I notice in verse number 1 there was an impossible need. The Bible says that he was born blind. One of the old writers I read after, and don't ask me which one, I read after too many, but it was one of them dead people. That's the only people saying anything now, is dead people. He made the statement that this little word blind was probably the word without eyeballs. Wow. God's in more of a jam than I thought he was. If he's going to get this old boy's sight, he's going to give him eyeballs. Whoa. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you this morning, if God's ever saved you from your sin this morning, you's worse off than you thought. Are you listening to me? Matter of fact, he says in John's gospel, you's dead. I tell you, you can't get no worse off than that. You're dead. Blind. He said you're deaf. You couldn't hear. You were dumb. You had no ability to communicate with him. I'm telling you, this thing was far worse than we thought. Every person that is born into this world, the state of his soul, whether he be a prince or whether he be a pauper this morning, he was born stone cold dead in his sin, with no ability to see God, no ability to speak to God, no ability to hear from God. Hey, this thing wasn't no fixer upper. This thing wasn't about God washing you up a little bit, throwing a little paint on the house, and everything's all right. Oh, no. If he found you this morning, it was an impossible situation that he found. He had nothing to work with. I'm asking you this morning, you that claim to be saved this morning, do you have any historical recollection of ever being in that state? Where you were blind, you were dead, you were deaf, you were dumb, you had no ability to get to him. If he didn't come to you, you're going to hell as good as where you sit. You say, preacher, I don't have any recollection of that. I know why, because you're still in that state. It's much worse than you thought.
Yeah. Amen.
I tell you,
We made a big to-do about that old boy out in Las Vegas shooting all them people from that window. I know this may upset you, and I hope it does. Every person in this building got the same nature in you he had in him. Ain't a bit of difference.
I tell you what, I don't like them old terrorists blowing up things.
Hey, you've got the same nature in you they got in them. Matter of fact, old Lester Roloff said that it is good that God allowed us to be born into this world as babies. As babies. You know, Adam and Eve did not come into this world as babies. Well, no, they come in here full grown. Lester Roloff said he couldn't do that to you and I. He couldn't let us come in here full grown. He said they came in here full grown because they were innocent. We're depraved now. We're dead. We're in darkness. He said we had to come in here as babies. Old Lester Roloff said if he'd have let us come in here as adults, he said we'd have grabbed a scalpel and slit the doctor and our mama's throat right there in the birthing room. Oh, you listen to me this morning. It was an impossible situation that God had to deal with. Not only do I see it as an impossible need this morning, but I see in chapter number 9 and verse number 3, it was an inside need. He said, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Where? On the outside of you? God forbid. This thing is not about what you did.
I can't preacher. I can't remember if I was on one knee, both knees. I don't remember what I said. It just ain't got nothing to do with it.
Yes, sir. Right. Amen.
It's whether God done anything on the inside of you or not.
Yes,
Paul said it like this. He said, but God commendeth the light to shine out of darkness and has shone in my heart. Do you have any historical recollection of ever being dark inside and one day you realize that the lights had come on inside of you? Because I preach to people and I believe I'm preaching to some this morning. You at home, but the lights ain't on. You looking at me, I can see it in your face. You're looking at me like, huh? I'm glad I was born as a baby. I slipped my mama's throat. What is she talking about? Well, I tell you, if you ever come to God, you'll realize how wicked you are. Inside need. But I see in verse 6, this just thrills my soul. I hate to even show it to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. It was an infusing need. He said, when he had thus spoke, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. He done made spit pies and put them on this old boy's face. I don't know about you, I'll not speak for you. I don't think I'd take too much to anybody spitting in my face. Would you? I believe we got a generation of people today that hate the gospel as much as they hate getting spit in the face. He makes mud pies now, spits in clay, puts them on the boy's eyes. What's that all about? Clay, that's you and I. He said he made us out of clay. He said he got it from dirt. You may be cute this morning, but you ain't nothing but a dirt bag. Huh? You hang around here long enough, you're either gonna go or come. You're going back to the dirt. What's this spit thing? If you go to one of these family tree deals, they want to check your spit. That's where they get your DNA. All in the side of your jaws to get your saliva. God's done spit in clay. He's done put his DNA inside the clay. That's exactly what he did when he saved me. God himself come and got inside of me and cut the lights on. Do you have any historical recollection in your mind and your heart of ever God moving inside of you? I didn't ask you if you've been down the Romans Road, German Road, or the French Road. Didn't ask if you've ever prayed the sinner's prayer, made a profession, been baptized in a baptismal pool, and joined the church. I didn't ask you none of those. I asked you, are you 100% sure there was a time when God wasn't inside of you, and now you're 100% sure that God is inside of you?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I just have so many.
Hey! Somebody's big as God move inside of you, you know it.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Amen.
Infusing need this morning. Simplicity. This old boy said, I tell you, I know y'all know all of that, man. Y'all know all the books of the Bible. You know all the Bible. I don't know no Bible stories. Oh, he said, the only thing I know is I was blind and I see.
Yes.
Arthur Pink said, we are born spiritually blind and cannot be restored without a miracle of grace. No sinner ever comes to Christ until the Holy Spirit first comes to him. No sinner will sovereignly believe on Christ until the Spirit has communicated faith in him and through him. Y'all sung a song this morning. It was written in 1702. When the song was written by a man by the name of John Newton. John Newton never preached a sermon that he did not write a song to go along with the sermon. That song you sung this morning, he wrote it for the New Year's Eve service, 1702. He preached on the grace of God. Aren't you glad he did not entitle it Understanding Grace?
Amen.
Oh, no. Because some of you have figured out what you got. That's why you ain't got nothing. See, this stuff you can't figure it out because it's amazing. It's amazing grace. How God could take a dead man, put his DNA inside of him, make him hear, make him see, make him alive. And he didn't do nothing to get it. Watch text. Not only do we see the need for deliverance, but we see the noise around deliverance. Oh, how defensive we get when God does that which we cannot explain by man or understand by religion. Man, when religion can't understand it, we get shaky. Or if we can't explain it, we get shaky. Notice there's relationship noise around this old boy. Verse number 8 said, the neighbors. We're going to have some neighbor noise. There's some of you here religious this morning, and I know you've already thought about, well, I tell you, I don't think I was that bad. Christ, I'm a pretty good old boy. I've been pretty good all my life. You ain't never got to God.
Right. Yes, sir.
I hear people all the time say, I tell you, when God saved me, I was a good person. You rest assured God ain't never saved. He don't save good people. He sends all good people to hell. Only people he saves is sinners. If you ain't a sinner, he ain't messing with you. If you good, you go on your way. Because once you get saved and see him, you see how wicked you are. You see it's good you didn't come here as an adult. You can see that scalpel in your hand, slit in the throat. Relationship noise. The neighbors, therefore, and they which were before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, I don't know. He looks like that guy, but I just don't know if it's him or not. You know, that guy saw him down there a lot, and you know, he didn't even have no eyeballs, just holes there. this feller's got an eye. I don't know if it's him or not. You know what they didn't want to say? He's blind. Now he can see. Man, religion don't do that. Oh, no. Man, that had to be something out of this world do that. I was wondering if you've got a salvation this morning that came from out of this world. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Huh? Talking about relationship noise. What did they do? I thought this was interesting. Verse 13. They brought him to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. I tell you, we better take him over to the church fathers. Let them take a deeper look into that eyeball. I don't know. They just don't look real. They look like they might be fake. I don't know. We better examine this. Can't explain it. Don't understand it. How come? It's amazing. I was wondering this morning, do you have a salvation that's amazing? Or have you figured it out? You've understood it. You've explained it. You ain't got nothing. Relationship noise. I noticed even his parents joined in his relationship noise. See verse number 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents. Oh, surely his mom and dad gonna jump in there and say, I don't know anything, but boy, I know one thing, this boy's blind, they ain't see.
Listen.
They asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. He's born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. How come they don't want to jump into the amazing grace? Look at the answer, verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. Oh, they were afraid of what? I wonder what the folks down there at church will think if I come in Sunday and I got new eyeballs. Wonder what they'll think if I come in Sunday and I've been raised from the dead and start acting different than I ever have acted.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
They were afraid of what the church was going to say. They were afraid they were going to get thrown out. Relationship noise. But I see in our text in chapter number 9, there was religious noise. The Bible said in verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not a God. He's a sinner. But their little idea was not because he had made the boy to see. Oh, no. He had the audacity to spit on the ground on Saturday. Probably on his way to the beach. Women wearing pants around him. Upset because he has spit on the ground on the Sabbath day. They're enraged. Just wait around. He's fixing to blow them to smithereens. Because the morning he gets up from the dead, it's Sunday morning. and he's going to change the whole religious thing. We're going to stop worshiping on Saturday, and we're going to start worshiping on Sunday morning. Suppose the preacher come in here next week and said, we ain't having services over here no more on Sunday. We're going to start doing it on Saturday. You would be enraged, and so were they. I love the hound out of it, don't you? Isn't it a grand day when God blows up religion? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And all of your little religiosity. Simplicity. See, not only there's the need, the noise, relationship, religious noise, but I see there's reviling noise. The Bible says in our text in verse 28, then they reviled him. The little word revile means to heap abuse upon, to rail, to verbally attack. It's a misnomer this morning. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Attacked him verbally. They called Jesus in verse number 31 a sinner. We know that God heareth not sinners. The only people that can give you sight is God. Can't nobody give you no sight except God. Did I not read somewhere where Jesus thought he was God? And now he's done convinced me that he's God. Well, if he's God, well, he can give sight then. Reviled him. Oh, that's just a sinner. I love his response to this reviling noise. He asks them in the latter part of verse 27. He said, would y'all like to be his disciples? Y'all like to follow him? Talking about the need, the noise. Can I look at this little thought? The narrative of the deliverance. Please, 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 if you're not listening to nothing I've had to say thus far, would you listen to this point and the last point? They're so important. Your whole eternity might hang on it. The narrative of the deliverance. It's the greatest argument this morning, the greatest argument for whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. This is the greatest argument for it. Look at the text. He says in verse 24, they say to him, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing. I'm interested in that little phrase. So only clear the table of everything but one thing. One thing. Amen. Then he makes this statement, I know. That is the little word that is used for intimacy between a man and a woman. It's used one of the first times in Genesis where Adam knew Eve brought forth a child. He says, I tell you, I don't know nothing. He said, y'all know everything about religion. He says, I don't know but one thing. And he says, I know it good too. He said, I know it like a man and a woman getting together in marriage. He said, well, he said, this was a conception. He said, like no other. Watch the text. He says, one thing I know. He says that I was blind. I was blind. Would you remember in your mind, go back in your mind with historical recollection to the day you were spiritually blind? Yeah. No desire for God. No desire for the Bible. You didn't read the Bible. You could care less about coming to church. You may have only come over here because your mom and dad made you come. He's blind. Do you have that point in history? Where it, I don't know nothing. Only thing I know, I was blind. But watch this. I hope you can testify to this. Watch the text. He says in verse 25, he says, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind. Do you know anything about this next word? Now. Do you have any historical recollection of a now experience? I tell you, preacher, I was blind, but there was a spot. I don't know the date. I don't know the hour. I don't know all of that. I don't know all of that stuff you know, but all I know is I was standing on a now spot, and I was blind over here, but on this spot, I could see. And I said, "Woo! I could see! I could see!" That's all I know. Do you have any recollection of such an event? God did that for you. You didn't do anything to get it. You's dead. I'm alive. Couldn't hear. I can hear. Couldn't see. I can see. Now, I preach this entire sermon to preach the last point. The only reason I preach this sermon, get to the last point. The news to the delivered. The news to the delivered. The religious crowd has put this old boy out of church. They churched him. We cannot explain how come a few days ago you didn't have no eyeballs and now you got eyeballs. Can't explain that. And matter of fact, that guy that you claim did it, he did it on Saturday, spitting on the ground. Oh, that's a no-no. He broke so many laws, there ain't no way he'd be God. But watch this. This is the news to the delivered. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, see, Jesus won't never find you until religion and your goodness put you down. All that you think you did to get saved, once that puts you down and it ain't working for you, that's when Jesus will find you. He says, doest, what did he ask this boy? He said, doest thou believe on the Son of God? You telling me, preacher, that this boy ain't believed yet? I'm telling you that with all my heart. He ain't believed yet. Matter of fact, he don't even know who Jesus is. Do you remember Jesus saw him, but he never saw Jesus? He ain't never believed in nothing. I'm going to ask you a deep, deep theological question. Here it is. Do you think this morning that your believing caused you to see? Or do you think this morning that God giving you sight caused you to believe? Do you think this morning that God raising you from the dead caused you to believe? Or do you think this morning you'll believe and caused him to raise you from the dead? Because if you think that, what I'm fixing to show you in the Bible this morning is going to mess up everything that you thought you believed. This boy don't know who Jesus is. He don't know. He has never believed at all. But he's got his sight. All he knows is, I can see, I can see, I can see. Watch the text. Don't take my word for it. It's bigger than what you think. Look at verse 36. He answered and said, who is he, Lord? He doesn't even know who Jesus is. He can see, though. He says that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is them that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. He didn't get saved then. It's just his profession of what God's already done. I can see. I can see. See, this thing of salvation, not about you doing anything. It's about God doing it. And your expression to that will be worshiping Him. I can see. I'm alive. I can hear. And it was amazing. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. Simplicity of deliverance. Newton didn't say it was understanding grace. He said it was amazing grace. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer. Seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading. Then a description of the sinner. Blind and unheeding, dying for me. I'm asking you, friend, do you have any historical recollection of a now experience? You was blind, and now you can see. You say, preacher, I'll be honest with you this morning. While I've been sitting here this morning, I believe with all my heart, God, let me see. I can see it now. Preacher, I don't know. I can't explain it. I feel like sitting right here in the pew. I have come alive spiritually. You know, it would be good for you to just get in this altar this morning. You don't have to pray the sinner's prayer and all that stuff. How come? You can see you're alive. Maybe you want to get in this altar. Lift your hands up to Him and says, I'm alive. I can see. I can see. Maybe you know of friends and neighbors and loved ones this morning. They blind as a bat spiritually. Can't see nothing. Maybe you'd pray this morning that God would get to them, give them sight, simplicity of deliverance. This old boy said, I tell you, I don't know all the Daniel and the lions then. I don't know all them stories. He said, the only thing I know is this. I was blind. Now I can see. Simplicity of deliverance. Would you stand with us this morning? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Preacher's coming. He's going to direct the service as we end it. Tell us what to do next.
Brother Brian, you be coming. Now look here. Holy Ghost knows how to set things up. The Lord spit on the ground and made those spit pies. He rended that He might mend. This kind of preaching rends religion. It rends that false stuff you clinging to. Some little prayer. It rends all that the Lord might mend, that you might have sight. That's just how simple it is. Don't try to make it more complicated than it is. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a verse or two of something. If you need to do something, you ought to already be at it. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, from before time, you had this meeting mapped out, charted out, planned out, God. Lord, you brought us together, God, in these days because you interested, God, in rending and mending, in coming down, oh God. Lord, giving sight. Lord, giving life to those that are blind, to those that are dead. Oh, Lord. Lord, may we just simply receive. May we just simply receive. May we just simply believe. May we just simply obey. Oh, Lord, your voice in these days. Get glory in your holy name, we pray. Amen, amen. What are we going to sing, Brother Brian?
Amazing grace. Amazing grace.
Oh, yeah.
How sweet the sound. like me.
Have you seen that? Sing like you've been there 10,000 years.
When we've been,
and those who see, those who see, those who've been given sight, going to be there.
Light shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first began.
Simply profound. And profoundly simple. Hallelujah. I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Amen. I'm interested in the one thing God has for us in these days. I pray that your heart's desire as well. Don't forget the evening service tonight. Be back in here. Hear this precious man of God. Amen. If you can see, you're at liberty. Shake hands, you go. I'm going to the back this morning.